Your fever is high and the pressure to log in at work is too. But when you finally decide to take care of you, there's Instacart. Just because that one perfect coworker of yours is attending all meetings, camera on while she's sneezing, coughing and aching, doesn't mean you have to do the same. Take it from us. Trying to stay on top of things will only get you further behind. Instead, get everything from tissues and teas to cough suppressants and comforting soups delivered through Instacart in as fast as 30 minutes. If anyone needs anything, they can just redirect their questions to that one perfect coworker of yours.
Oh, should we start this show?
Yeah, I'm down. Just buying a car in Carvana first.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, it's super convenient. I already got pre-qualified in 2 minutes. All I had to do is answer a few questions.
Ooh, that's helpful.
And now just customizing my down and monthly payments.
Ooh, that's a very fair deal.
Yep. Boom. Just bought a car. And you get to take me to the Carvana vending machine in a couple days to pick it up.
Ooh. I'm kind of busy.
Visit Carvana.com to finance your next car.
Financing subject to credit approval.
We're pleased to welcome Colin Ward-Henniger, longtime CBS Sports and CBS Sports HQ NBA insider from the Bay Area, joining us now here on CBS Sports Radio. Well, let's start there, Colin. What is wrong with the Bucks?
One thing is that Doc Rivers was brought in to kind of, you know, take over the leadership role and get the players, the superstars, a.k.a. Giannis Antetokounmpo and Damian Lillard, on his side. I don't think a 3-7 start is really the way to do that. So I don't know if he's instilling the kind of confidence in those two players and the rest of the group moving forward with a team that is basically championship or bust. And that's why they fired Adrian Griffin. One slightly positive sign for the Milwaukee Bucks is that their defense has improved. It went from 19th before Doc Rivers took over to 12th now in his last 10 games. That's been offset by just horrific offense and really trying to figure out the Damian Lillard, Giannis Antetokounmpo pick and roll, which was supposed to be this absolute deadly weapon. You could go to it any time and get a good shot. It just simply hasn't been that. It wasn't that way under Griffin. It hasn't been that way under Doc Rivers. So that is really what he needs to figure out in this final home stretch.
I'm kind of blown away by that, because as much as a coach can stand there and diagram and dial up pick and roll, it's not that complicated. It's one of the first things that you learn when you play high school basketball. So what is the issue with the two of them, who are world-class players?
Yeah, it's a great question. Part of it is buy-in. They haven't been running as many as people thought they would be in terms of the pick and roll. So maybe there's something there with the players themselves. Giannis not wanting to be a screener. Dame wanted to kind of find offense in different ways. But really, it kind of goes back to what Giannis said at the beginning of the season. He was kind of surprised at the way teams were playing them. So essentially, they're going to blitz Damian Lillard, make him get the ball out of his hands, and then they're going to load up in the paint to make sure Giannis can't have an easy roll to the basket. That leaves players open, but it's their, you know, third, fourth, fifth best players on the team, and those are the guys who are getting the shots. So defenses are basically saying, anyone but you two, if you guys want to beat us, go for it. And I think that Giannis expressed that he was a little surprised that getting shots for Damian Lillard and Giannis himself was that difficult, and that they were kind of relying on their supporting cast. So you'd think that it would get better as the season went along, but it really hasn't seemed to. But like you said, this is a simple play. This is what everyone in the NBA runs. So for them, the two of the best offensive players we've seen in the last 20 years, to not be able to figure it out, it's a little concerning.
At this point, they faded back to third place in the Eastern Conference. It's been cool to see the Cavaliers grow up a little bit and put some pressure on Boston. But as you look at the Eastern Conference, Colin, who is the best challenger to battle Boston down the stretch?
Yeah, that's tough. Boston is just such a good team. It's hard to watch them sometimes because they're so good, they're boring in certain ways. Cleveland, if they can continue down the path that they're on, they'll be an interesting kind of surprise team. But when you think of Cleveland, you think of their horrible playoff exit in the first round last year, where they were just absolutely dominated by the Knicks. And then you think the Knicks, you know, if they can get OG Anunoby back and everybody's healthy, they've been playing great with him. But do you trust Julius Randle and Jalen Brunson in a playoff series? Brunson's going to be great on offense, but we saw teams just continually target him on the other end of the floor. So I don't know if the Knicks are there. To me, it ultimately comes down to the team that we were talking about, the Bucks. If they could somehow figure this out, they have one of the greatest basketball players on earth. That always goes a long way. And then the 76ers, if somehow Joel Embiid can come back and be relatively healthy heading into the playoffs, that is an absolute handful. They were playing great before he got injured. So, barring the Miami Heat getting a matchup with the Celtics, because we've always obviously seen them be able to just kind of turn things on in the playoffs. I think if you're just looking at who the worst matchups are, I'd say just Giannis with the Bucks and then Embiid with the 76ers.
Typical Heat languishing in seventh place only to turn it up when they get to the postseason with that defense intensity for them. Who's a team that has surprised you in the East?
I kind of saw the Pacers thing coming. Like, I thought they were going to be better. I didn't think they were going to be sixth in the Eastern Conference at this point. They are a really fun team to watch. Tyrese Halliburton got to put on a show in the event that will not be named that took place over the weekend. but he's the way they push the pace. The Pascal Siakam addition, I think, is going to be great for them, not just this year, but moving forward, because they just don't play any defense whatsoever. So to have a long-rangey, switchable guy, I think that's going to go a long way for them moving forward. But you don't want to play this team in the first round. I mean, they're going to put up 130, 140 points a game. They're not going to play any defense, but if you can't score, if you have an off-shooting night, they could beat you, potentially 3-4 games and 7-game series. So I've really enjoyed watching the Pacers this year.
We're excited to look ahead to the second half, even though it's past the midway point, with CBS Sports Insider Colin Ward-Henniger, who is based in the Bay Area and joins us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Well, let's talk about the big story in the Bay, which is the Warriors. Draymond out, Draymond back. But now they move Klay Thompson to the bench, and there's this talk about him becoming the most valuable sixth man in the NBA. What do you think of that move?
I love the move. I think that it's probably something that the organization has been thinking about for a long time, but it's just a hard move to pull the trigger on. I mean, this guy, he's going to have a statue outside the arena one day. He is absolutely beloved in the Bay Area. It's hard to kind of explain to people how much Bay Area fans love this guy. So to see him go to the bench, especially after all that he's been through, the Achilles, the ACL, being called out by national media saying that he's not the same player, the way that he's just been so vulnerable when in his press conferences and admitting that he's coming to grips with the fact that he's not the same player that he used to be. He's been dealing with that all season, and mentally, Steve Kerr always says that Klay is so hard on himself that when he has bad shooting nights, which he's had a lot of this season, that he just beats himself up and kind of takes himself out of the game. So all this to say, I think the move to the bench will be good for both sides. I think Klay can come in as he did in his first game off the bench since his rookie year, puts up 35 points, just gets hot right away. That's not going to happen every night, but at least now when he comes in, he doesn't have to think about all this stuff. You can just be our heat check scorer. If you miss 3-4 in a row, maybe Kerr pulls him, puts him in with a different unit, something like that. But the pressure is a little bit off of Klay Thompson. It also allows Brandon Podziemski, the rookie, to enter that starting lineup. And the numbers with him in Klay's spot with the rest of those starters has been really, really good for the Warriors.
How much does that have to do with the surge? They've won 8 of their last 10, though they are still sitting in 10th in the West.
Yeah, it tells you how much ground they needed to make up, right? So they're 8-3 in their last 11 games. And really the key to that has been Draymond Green. You mentioned it, in and out of the lineup because of suspensions. We didn't really know whether he was actually going to come back this season. He's just been tremendous since he came back. Steve Kerr put him in as the starting center, which used to be their kind of closing lineup, the death lineup, whatever you want to call it. Now that's their starting lineup. And Kerr said, you know what, the way the NBA has gone, we need to play faster. We need to play smaller. We need to spread the floor. And that's exactly what Draymond's done. He's done that on offense. And then what he brings defensively, they were 24th in the NBA in defense prior to Draymond's return. Since he's been back, they're 5th. So it just tells you everything you need to know about what this guy's bringing. Now, can you trust him to continue his, good walk that line between passion and kind of chaos? I don't know. As of now, the Warriors, Kerr says, this is the team. This is our team. This is the way we want to play. They've got Chris Paul coming back. Gary Payton's healthy. It seems like they've got a lot of momentum. But as you said, sitting in 10th with the teams above them, that they're not bad. Like, they're not going to just start losing games out of nowhere. So it's going to be an uphill climb for sure.
The top of the West has 4 teams that are separated by just 3 games in the standings. Timberwolves down to the defending champion Nuggets. How much actual separation is there among those 4?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think the whole season, you're just kind of waiting for Minnesota and Oklahoma City to start falling back, and they haven't. I mean, Minnesota, they have the best record against teams above 500 in the entire NBA, 23-11, have some signature wins over the Clippers, over the Thunder, the teams that are right below them. So with the number one defense in the league, you're just going to win a lot of regular season games because every single night you're going to be in it. You're not going to get blown out. So the Timberwolves have really impressed me this season. The Clippers, I think, are the upside pick where they might not be as concerned with getting that number one seed. But when they get to the playoffs, they're going to be a team that certainly has, championship potential. The Thunder, to me, are still a little young, but with a player like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I mean, they can go as far as he can take them, basically. But ultimately, to me, it's the Nuggets. I think that we're going to start to see they kind of, were pretty bad heading into the All-Star break, but I think they're going to flip that switch, start to see the playoffs coming, and really have to get into gear here because they know repeating is going to be much more difficult than it was last season with injuries and different seedings and things like that. Ultimately, I think Denver will probably climb up to that number one spot, but all those teams are very good.
Colin Ward-Henniger of CBSSports.com and CBS Sports HQ with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. You can snicker at the championship hangover, and yet teams really do have to fight through that, whether it is complacency or just fatigue from having the previous season stretch on. It definitely does seem to be a challenge for teams, especially those who have not won a championship before.
Yeah, absolutely. And, as Pat Riley always talked about, the disease of more and all that stuff and more shots, more money, more minutes, all those things. And then Denver also, they lost Bruce Brown, which is he's a big part of their team. They didn't have a deep rotation. So to lose a bench piece like that, who was essentially their backup point guard, they've kind of struggled to fill that role with Reggie Jackson and some of their younger players. So at the end of the day, do you trust Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray to perform in the playoffs? Of course, those are two of the best in the game, and they play together so well. It's that supporting cast you're kind of wondering, are they going to be able to step up the way that they did last year, and how are they going to make up for the departure of Bruce Brown?
At this point, it seems unlikely, Colin, that Joel Embiid will repeat as MVP, though he is still leading the league in points per game. Who's trying to wrestle that MVP away from Joel?
Yeah, I think at this point, Joel Embiid has missed too many games. It's a 65-game limit, so I think he's officially been ruled out, which is unfortunate because he was having just an absolutely monster season. But as of now, I think, the betting favorite, I believe, is Jokic. He's always going to be a safe bet. The numbers he puts up, the fact that Denver wins, the on-off numbers with him are just phenomenal. But to me, as of right now, if I was voting, I would say that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is the MVP of the NBA. The narrative is all there. The Oklahoma City Thunder, one of the youngest teams in the league, they were obviously on an upward trajectory, but not expected to contend for the number one seed in the Western Conference. And then what Shai's been able to do, averaging 30, more than 30 points, and not shooting a ton of three-pointers, just over three per game. His numbers on and off are ridiculous. The Thunder average 122 points per 100 possessions when he's on the floor, which would basically be the best offense in the history of the NBA. And when he leaves, that drops down to 111. So you want to talk about value, you want to talk about narrative, you want to talk about a guy who scores a lot. I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander would be the MVP for me right now.
Could I potentially interest you in Luka Doncic as a dark horse, considering that Dallas is kind of right there attempting to stay out of the play-in tournament? He's got excellent offensive numbers, but he's also averaging nearly 9 rebounds a game. What do you think?
You're never going to go wrong with Luka Doncic. And Dallas is a hot team right now. Him and Kyrie Irving have played tremendously together. Luka's numbers are off. They're out of control. Like you see these things that he puts up and watching his 70-point game against the Hawks and all this stuff. The only question for them has been their record, right? Like if you're a 7 seed, can you have the MVP on your team? And there's so many guys putting up these kind of mind-boggling stats this year. It's going to be very interesting to see where the voters decide to make the separation. Is it stats? Is it analytics? Is it the team's record? That's going to be and there's always the voter fatigue where you say, okay, well, we don't really want to vote for Jokic. You want some new blood. a guy like Luka, if he can move that team up. They're definitely within striking distance of a 5 seed, maybe a 4 seed. If they can have a strong push towards the end of the season, get that in the voters' minds while he's averaging 35, 12, and 12, I mean, certainly a possibility.
Before we let you go, I'm not going to ask about the game per se because I really don't care. But I did love the shootout between Sabrina and Steph. Why was that good for the NBA?
Oh, it's tremendous. First of all, it's something new. As we've seen, the dunk contest has lost a lot of steam. The three-point contest is fun. But to see something that's it's a head-to-head battle, obviously, kind of a battle of the sexes thing. And to show the NBA fans how far the WNBA has progressed. I mean, I know a lot of the NBA writers that I know love the WNBA. A lot of basketball fans love watching the WNBA because of how well those players have done in recent years and how much the game has progressed. So to see that and then to see, obviously, just Steph Curry, the greatest shooter of all time against the greatest shooter in the WNBA right now. I think it's a very interesting proposition. It was by far the highlight for me of All-Star Weekend. And I loved that they said afterwards that, yeah, like we should do this every single year, whether or not it's Steph and Sabrina, maybe it's two other players, maybe they mix in some more, to somehow try to continue that kind of event into the years to come, I think is a really good idea.
If you can shoot, you can shoot. That had to be my favorite thing that I heard around this three-point competition from Sabrina Ionescu. If you can shoot, you can shoot, period.
That's what I always say at 24-Hour Fitness, but nobody believes me.
Hey, Mel, Bri here. Gotta work from home today because the whole family caught a nasty.
Daddy!
Hey, Mikey, if you're gonna puke, find the popcorn bowl!
But my availability is 110%. Coincidentally, so is my fever. Kidding. Mel, I'm so cold but hot. But I'm going to get you that budget. Just as soon as...
Mikey! Popcorn bowl!
Press 1 to use Instacart and get your family's sick day essentials delivered in as fast as 30 minutes. Press 2 to keep working. Do not press 2. Just use Instacart, Brian.
Shall I take your order, or do you need a minute?
Yes, I'll be ready. Just buying a car on Carvana.
What?
It's super convenient. I already got pre-qualified in 2 minutes. All I had to do was answer a few questions.
What? That's handy.
Yeah, now I'm customizing my down and monthly payments.
What? That's an exquisite deal.
And just like that, Carvana's delivering my car in a couple days.
What?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I'll have the burrito.
Visit Carvana.com to finance your next car.
Financing subject to credit approval. Delivery fees may apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.
Colin Ward-Henniger is with us from the Bay Area, getting set for the stretch run in the NBA. You can find him on Twitter at Colin with 1L CBS Sports. Always good to catch up with you. Enjoy the rest of the season. Hopefully we'll talk to you in the playoffs.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.
We've seen a lot of change in the past 20 years, but two decades later, Mountain Dew Baja Blast is still a fan favorite, bringing you the bold tropical lime flavor that folks can't get enough of. It takes you back to a sunny day at the beach with every delicious sip. And don't you want that feeling all the time? Well, 2024 is the year. In celebration of their 20th Baja-versary, you can sip Baja Blast all year long. So pick up a Baja Blast wherever you are. In stores now.
When something happens to your car, you might say,
"No! My car!"
But what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.